Me neither.
I saw the first one.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 17th, episode 1064. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
Dancing through the snow.
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
It is that time of the year. It is the holiday season. I was going to let it go, Glenn. I was going to let it go, but you want to talk about it?
No, that's okay.
You think she's so funny. So that little thing that we say all the time, I'm so-and-so, I'm so-and-so, like Glenn makes me do that. I hate saying all those numbers and the date and all that crap. I hate doing that. And he always screws with me and puts things in there because I just read what's in front of me. I don't read it ahead of time. I just read. And this time, I am Jamie Jennings from the moon. And you are, and I almost said it. What is wrong with me?
I almost got you that time.
You always do it when we start our pre-show meeting, and he's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "I need some more coffee," and he's like, "Oh, that's right, she's from the moon." You know what? Suck it. I got my second cup of coffee, and I caught your little prank.
I'm surprised you caught it this morning, actually. You were sounding pretty tired when you got up this morning.
I should get Benadryl last night.
I did, too. I was like, I got this cold starting, so I took some nighttime cold medicine. And then this morning before the show, I started sneezing and stuff. I was like, I got to take some daytime. And have you ever taken, because I get the box that has the nighttime and the daytime together. You know, they're blue and orange, the pills. And have you ever taken the daytime or the nighttime in the morning? I did that one time before I had a whole bunch of shows to do that day. I accidentally took the wrong one. That was it. An hour later, yeah. I was like sleeping on the microphone.
Well, I take Benadryl not because, well, I have allergies, but I take Benadryl to go to sleep. So I would be screwed if I took one in the morning. I'd have to go to bed because I'm just unfunctionable, if that's a word. Function. So thank you very much, Glenn. I just want you to know you keep doing this crap to me, and I'm going to stop reading all the episode numbers and the dates. Everybody knows what day it is, and nobody else cares what the episode number is. It's just chronicling for you. So I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say, I'm Jamie Jennings, and Glenn can suck it. That's what I'm going to say every time we open the show.
I am so ready for vacation, by the way.
Jennifer, save us. What's coming up on today's show?
On today's Wednesday really needs to be closer to Friday, especially during the holiday shopping season edition. Our welcome gift for all of you includes a holiday-themed Ziploc baggie full of horsey headlines and a plastic Santa plate overflowing with crappy lists. And then for today's entree, some down-to-earth saddle-fitting advice, compliments of the total saddle fit man himself, Justin the Jolly. And for dessert, we've got the Lisa and Lisa meetup for you. Super sweet! And stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, I think it's daily Winnie time. Well, I have to give my daily Winnie to the two Lisas, and we'll talk more about this later in the show, and we'll have a little bit of it for you. But let's just say that there are two Lisa Kellys in this world, and because of them, we broke a new download record here on the Horse Radio Network with tens of thousands of downloads yesterday. thousands of likes and comments, and just I am actually surprised that our server didn't crash yesterday. But we'll tell you more about that coming up later in the show. But the two lovely Lisas get my daily Winnie. Anybody that can almost crash our servers gets my daily Winnie.
Heck yeah. Well, my daily Winnie goes out, check it out, 2 hours last night. 2 hours of waiting and watching, and finally the voice of this season was named. And it is Mr. Craig, oh wait, crap, if you haven't seen the episode, you should turn your ears off. I'm spoiler alert. Craig Lindley,
yeah.
Baby!
Too late now.
Sorry about that.
There's five Craigs, I'm sure, that are competing in the final four of...
The guy named Craig that looked like Harry Potter, the guy named Craig that looked like Magic Mike, the guy named Craig who was the soul singer, and then the other Craig with the country and the fringe that really, really needed a makeover at the start of the season, and he got one, and he looked so much better, and he is the winner. So they did they recorded some singles, which is the first time in The Voice. Glenn, I know I'm like talking to a wall right now, but they recorded all these singles, and all four of these songs are going to be, I mean, they should be all huge smash hits. I was pulling for Damien, but I'm happy Craig won. They were all great. So this is Craig's new single. You're going to hear this on country radio tomorrow or today. Of course, I can't play the whole thing because we'll get sued.
She rolls out of bed, I watch the sleep out of her eyes.
Sounds like Jared Rogerson.
Kind of does, yeah. But she
looks so sad. There is no reason that Jared Rogerson should not have won this show. It was his to win. Why is Jared Rogerson not on The Voice? What the hell?
I know.
I mean,
I don't think his wife wants him.
Better than I can.
I don't think his wife wants him out of the house that long.
Oh my gosh! Well, they get to go and they bring kids. And I think did I read that Jared just had a? Oh, that's another daily Winnie. Unless I dreamed it, Jared Rogerson just had another baby. So
really, I have to look that up. Yeah. I don't know.
Think.
So this guy, I don't follow The Voice, and the first I've seen of him is when I went to get that little soundbite. By the way, you can obviously see the rest of that on YouTube and everywhere else. But he does look like a country star. And I did see his audition, and you're right, he was one hairy dude. he needed a shave.
He had hairy, all this fringe on his jacket, and that guy is like in love with that coat because he wore that coat every time he went on TV. And then he got to be like Gwen Stefani was his coach for a little while. She stole him, and then like Blake stole him back. But at any rate, she was the coach, and she was like, "Can I just like dress you up and like you know make you look different?" So she got her little paws on him, cut his hair, changed his whole style. And actually yesterday Blake was like, you know, on the show, he said that's one thing that he's learned from Gwen was the fact that that's something he probably needs to focus on a little bit more. And if you remember when Blake Shelton came out with his first new single called Austin, love that song, he had a big old foot-long mullet in the back. So yeah, he needs to start focusing on style a little bit.
Now, were you surprised? It seemed that the articles I read were surprised that the country dude won.
I was not because, you know, I as much as I like Damien, I was pulling for him. Anytime you got online and looked at anything voice-related, it was like 95% of the comments were Craig Lane Boyd. We love Craig. So I kind of thought he was going to win with the online presence because those are the people that are going to comment on blogs and Facebook pages and all that are going to be the people that vote religiously and download songs and all this. So, no, I was not – I can't say I was surprised, but he had a little bit of a rough journey. He was dumped by two coaches and then got picked back up. It was crazy. So he was so cute. Like his little boy, just adorable, and the long-haired blonde boy, just so cute. And it was just he sang the song for his son. It was just tug your heartstrings.
Well, now when I was looking around this morning, I did watch him do. They had the video up of him with Leonard Skinner. and where they did the song together. Those two have almost identical voices. Matter of fact, if you closed your eyes, you couldn't tell who was singing. It was a great video.
Can you imagine? Like, you're just some dude, like, you know, slinging beers in a bar, and then you're playing on the stage every once in a while at your local pub, and then now all of a sudden you're singing with probably his favorite band of all time, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Seriously, can you imagine? That's really cool.
And singing Sweet Home Alabama, you know, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
But he looked like a natural. I would have thought he would have been a star already. You know, you just see him on stage, he just looked like a natural.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah. Really, really good. So, I was not surprised that he won. I mean, all four of them, but, you know, usually you get down to something like this and they're like, a couple of them suck. They all four were amazing. Really, really good.
Well, speaking of, I don't know whether this is going to be amazing or not. We'll find out. I posted a video yesterday of the trailer for a movie called The Horseman, which I had not heard about before, and this one has Tommy Lee Jones, Hilary Swank, James Spader, Meryl Streep. I mean, and the list goes on. It has a huge cast in this movie. It's out in limited release now. It's only in a few theaters. I checked, and there's not one within an hour of us. So it will be out. From what I saw on Amazon, it's going to be out in DVD release the beginning of the year, January or February. So I posted the video. It looks really good. Now, there's been a lot of comments on it, and one person actually saw the show, one of our listeners named Lila, and she says, manage your expectations. I read the book, which I wouldn't call my favorite, when it first came out, and saw the movie last Saturday. Great names in the lineup, beautiful scenery, nice characterization, but slow as molasses in the winter. See it, yes, but don't go in sleepy. So do not take your cold medicine before you go in, apparently. So I don't know. Did you watch it? Did you get a chance to watch a trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer, but I mean, I didn't watch it on here, but I saw the trailer, I think, on Late Night or something like that, one of those shows. And I don't think I heard the reviews were awesome because it was a little bit slow, but you know, I liked Lonesome Dove, so I can sit through some slow Western just to be there with the horses and the scenery and Tommy Lee Jones and my twin sister, Hilary Swank, according to a lot of people, they think I look like her. So I could sit through.
You do
slow
a little
Western.
Bit actually.
Yeah.
You actually, you know what you say it. You do look a little bit like her.
I think somebody had just told me that, and then The Office did an episode, is Hilary Swank hot or not? And, like, half the people were like, no, she's disgusting. And I was like, oh, great, that's me. Thanks. Awesome.
By the way, Horsemanship Radio episode 29 talked about this movie. If you want to take a listen to Debbie's show over there, horsemanshipradio.com, they talked about this movie and a little bit about it and the making of it. So you can find out more about that. But Tommy Lee Jones, I mean, everything you see him in, you have to like him in. And, you know, Jane Spader and Meryl Streep, it just has the names. But maybe it's like the Hobbit movies. I don't know about you. I'm not a big Hobbit fan. It made like $120 zillion over the weekend, the last Hobbit movie here. But, you know, even Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, I just cannot get through them. They're too damn long. They need to make those chases, and it's just one big chase through six movies. And they need to make those chases about half the length of time. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do the books either.
So if you're jumping over to The Hobbit, I read The Hobbit, the book, and you know what? These movies, they're just too long. Like, the first movie was 2.5 hours in The Hobbit, and then, like, they get to the end, and the mountain is still way far away. I'm like, ugh, I can't just travel with them anymore. I'm tired.
I don't care about the damn ring.
I don't care. I know what happens in the end.
It is one Elijah big Wood. Chase scene, too. It's one big, long chase scene. And it just seems like they kept going in circles, round and round through everything.
So stressful. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm dirty at the end. Like, I couldn't do it.
But there are huge Hobbit fans out there that are just addicted and rabid about it.
Yeah. And I liked Lord of the Rings, but I kind of more liked Lord of the Rings because the Hidalgo guy was in it. Whew, I do love me some Viggo Mortensen.
Well, before we go
let's
on
ask
with...
That. Wait, let's ask that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Okay. I want to know who the hottest, like, movie horse guy is. Jen, you can figure out a way to say that better. Is it Viggo? Is it Tom Burlington from the Manchester River? Like, who is the hottest guy in horse movies that you've ever seen? I got to go. I don't know. I mean, I love me some Tom Burlington, but Viggo is just gorgeous. Okay. Glenn, that's not for you. We'll do ladies later.
I wonder how many Johnny Depps you're going to get. Anyway, let's do a serious story here, and then we'll get back to silly. But I can't avoid this story because it is all over the news today, and it's not a happy story in any way, shape, or form. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Remember we talked about this stable down in southern Florida outside of Miami where they got some bad food? Was it Lakeland? What was the name of the company?
Well, it goes back to Alltech, but I think it was Lakeland-based company. What it was?
Yeah.
I sent it to you immediately, thinking it was could be in your area, which is incredibly scary. But it was not close to you, right? It was down in Miami, so.
Well, they got this farm gets this. It's in Davie, the town of Davie. It's Masterpiece Equestrian Center, and God bless them all. They got a bad batch of feed that had additives that were safe for livestock but toxic to horses. And they got that batch of feed in September. All 22 horses that were there ate the feed for a month before anyone realized something was wrong. So the additive wasn't like it would kill them immediately. It was a slow poisoning is basically what it was. Well, three horses died in October. A fourth was euthanized on Monday, and we talked about the three that died in October. But at that point, I didn't realize the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is that they fully expect the rest of these 22 horses to die, and in as soon as a week. So basically
what's heartbreaking is these girls all know that their horses are going to die. Now, let's just put yourself in their shoes for a second. You know your horse is going to die, and it's going to die in a week. And so basically all the young girls and the riders are going out there and brushing their manes and tails and painting their hooves and just feeding them hay and feeding them treats. But, like, it's inevitable. Like, they're all, oh, gosh, it just breaks my heart into a million pieces. Oh, I can't deal.
I know. It's just what a sad story. Well, our thoughts and prayers are to everybody down there and with the whole situation. This isn't the end of this story either. This one's going to be in court, I am sure, for a while. So.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, another interesting story that we saw, Glenn, is did you read about the mystery 18th century horse that they found underneath the Newmarket Palace House stables? I don't know how one finds something like this. I mean, I'm just not an archaeologist. I don't understand how they do things. But a set of bones were uncovered during an excavation of the former royal stables of Palace House. And this is one of the homes of King Charles II in Newmarket. So they found this skeleton, in England, fully intact, the same height as this incredibly famous racehorse named Dr. Syntax. Dr. Syntax, they call him the Frankel of his day. He won 36 races over 9 years, ran for 9 years, becoming one of the most famous racehorses in British history. It's like if Man O' War was buried somewhere and nobody knew where.
And that was before Latham.
Yeah. It was basically, they found Man O' War, they think. Well, they don't have any complete 100% proof, and they haven't even decided, which is weird, if they're going to do DNA tests. I guess they can DNA test it and to find out if it's Dr. Syntax. Dr. Syntax was euthanized there in 1838. Now, euthanasia is a little bit different back then. I think it was like, kind of a gun to the head was euthanasia. It is consistent, like the skull is consistent with that. And he was a stud, he was here, so they must be able to trace his DNA. But they haven't decided whether they're going to going to do the DNA test yet or not. But they can tell so much stuff by the skeleton. They can tell that the skeleton has, and this is 1800s, you guys, early 1800s. They can tell whether the skeleton displays amount of wear and tear on its joint because of riding and racing, so they think it's a racehorse. They don't know if it's Dr. Syntax, but it is a royal racehorse. Why would a horse be buried completely intact underneath the stables if it wasn't some kind of super famous horse?
Okay, but in the early 1800s, would you expect all horses would have a substantial amount of wear and tear? They rode them all the time. They had to ride them to go places. Every horse is going to have a substantial amount of wear and tear.
That's a really good point. There weren't like joint injections back then.
No, and they rode them everywhere. It was their car. Like, you know, it gets to look like my Jeep after a while. You know?
Well, you're taking the fun out of this for me then, Glenn.
Sorry.
I just thought that was a weird statement.
Who's like digging into the ground and they're like, oh wait, here's a skeleton. That's some training I would never be able to do. My back would break just sitting over there and digging up bones. But they are saying that if it's not Dr. Syntax, which is like their man of war, that it is consistent of a famous racehorse of the king. So anyway, whichever way it is, I think it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. I do think archaeology is neat, although with my ADD, I would last about 5 minutes because they have to be like meticulous with little tiny brushes, and I'd be like, get the shovel, bring the bulldozer over.
It'd be fine.
We'll dig it up. We'll put it back together later. Yeah, I would be able to do that. Jennifer always thought she would do that. I think Jennifer could go back and do it over again. She'd be an archaeologist. And I could see Jennifer having the patience to sit there with a little tiny brush. I can see that.
Leaning over would just make my back hurt.
Doesn't it make you want to dig up the whole of England, though? They find the coolest stuff when they dig around there. I just want to dig up everything in England.
Yeah.
It's the coolest stuff.
Like Rome. And it's just, there's so much history in every other country except for ours, like buildings and stuff like that.
Hey, I got to tell you, I started watching Netflix is coming out with the best original series. I like a lot of their series that they're starting to do now. But they did one, and it just started the other day. They put out a bunch of episodes of Marco Polo. So I started watching Marco Polo. There's a lot of horses in Marco Polo because Marco Polo, you know, he ended up in China, and you know, there are a lot of little horses, and it is really, I'm really into it. I've watched two episodes so far, and although it's very violent, but I imagine that's what it was like back then. So you got to be prepared for that. But it's good so far. I recommend it. Marco Polo on Netflix.
All right. I've got to say I'm distracted because Uta posted she wins. She wins the internet right now because she posted that Chris Hemsworth on horseback galloping on the beach. That's Thor for those keeping track at home. The sexiest man alive, according to People magazine for this year. So, Uta, you win. Game over.
Nobody needs to post anything else. Done.
No need. I do love that Jen put Tom Selleck. Like, Tom Selleck is a hot, is he still hot? How, I can eat a current picture of Tom Selleck.
Oh, I watch him in Blue Bloods every week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, he's the police chief. Yep. Well, we have a new record again in the dressage world. Jamie, would you care to guess who set it?
Wait, a dressage world record? It must,
yes.
I haven't seen the story, but it must be our friend Charlotte.
Yes, Charlotte Desjardins. Once again in Vallegro, beat their own world record yesterday with an 87.46 to win the FEI World Cup Grand Prix at Olympia. Their test was perfect as usual. They got a bunch of tens from the judges. And she said that she was feeling under the weather. She was sick. She had a cold and wasn't particularly aiming for a new world record. To quote her, just quote Charlotte, she said, I used it as a schooling round. I just wanted to enjoy it. I don't go in there to break a world record. I don't know what a world record test feels like. Sometimes it just happens. Oh, all the times it just happens.
It feels like when you're riding is what it is. Just think you've set the bar. And do you think that judges just want to, like, continually be the one that gave out the world record? So now it's like a competition between judges. Like, no, I gave the world record. No, I gave her the world record.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one that puts down a 40 in that test, do you?
That's a 6. That's a 6 right there. Oh, there's a 5. That's a 6.
Oh, by the way, there Olympia, the big show going on in England right now, which is, I think, why we are not going to have Victoria from Horse and Country TV today. I think she's probably there. But guess what today is? Today's the freestyle. So this is her quote about the freestyle. She said, "Tomorrow there's another competition. I love the freestyle, and so does Blueberry. So we'll just go out and let her rip." She calls her horse Blueberry.
Can I just tell you how happy it makes me that her, like, world record holding dressage horse is named Blueberry? I love that. Oh, Jennifer, are you there? Glenn? Oh, we lost Glenn. Jennifer, are you there?
I stayed here, but I think Glenn left the room.
Yes, Glenn is gone. I'm like, I thought it was nice that his name was Blueberry, but I guess not.
Glenn clammed up.
Jeez.
Oh,
my gosh, funny. What did I say? Was it something I said? and now Jennifer's gone. So it's just me. So this might not be very long. But the good news is I have some exciting, fascinating Christmas facts for you. I've been saving this one. Everybody's gone, so nobody gets to talk back to me. So... here we go. That the Christmas facts, the French gave the biggest Christmas present ever in 1886. It was the Statue of Liberty. Did you know that the Statue of Liberty was a Christmas present? I did not want to know that. Santa Claus was a real saint. I guess he was a real saint before he started, being Santa Claus. But he lived in the 300s in what is now known as Turkey. So he was actually a real saint, I guess, and a real person. The first artificial Christmas tree wasn't a tree. It was created out of goose feathers. That's not awesome. That Christmas has many names in many countries. Did you know that an estimated 1 out of every 3 people in the world celebrate Christmas? There are 7 billion people in the world, and 23 million people celebrate Christmas. So that's pretty awesome. There's a lot of people celebrating Christmas. The Christmas stocking got its start when 3 unmarried girls did their laundry and hung their stockings on the chimney to dry, and they couldn't marry. And this is back when you had to, Jenny, you there? They had to pay to get their daughters married off, you know? So girls that had no money couldn't marry because they didn't have a dowry. But these girls, unmarried, no dowry, hung their stockings by the chimney to dry. And Saint Nick, who knew of their plight, put a sack of gold in each stocking in the morning so the girls awoke to discover that they could get married. So when you hang your stockings up, now you know why. It's basically,
you expect a dowry.
So you expect some presents so you can get married and live a good life. Because those girls that aren't married, you know, it's just sad. Poor spinsters. Ugh, ridiculous.
That's bizarre.
The candy cane is one of the most familiar symbols of Christmas, and it dates back to 1670 in Europe. And I didn't realize that the candy cane, why it's in the shape of a hook, is not just to hang on your Christmas tree or to unwrap and let your horse eat. It's because it's Jesus' hook to shepherd his lambs, and even the colors and stripes hold significance for purity and Christ's sacrifice. Did you know that?
Really?
I didn't know that either.
I had no idea. I think these people are making these up. They can't be. 36 million Christmas trees are produced each year on Christmas tree farms. Now, 36 million, but only 23 million celebrate Christmas. We got a tree surplus, okay, at the end of the day. Xmas stems from, you know how they write Xmas, and people get all mad because, oh, you're taking the Christ out of Christmas, and Xmas is wrong, and you shouldn't say Xmas or write Xmas. Well, hey, suck it. The Greek X is the symbol for Christ, and that's how that started. So
I didn't
Xmas
know that. I thought it was just lazy people. I thought it was just lazy people like me.
Well, when I write Xmas, it's because I'm being lazy.
Yeah, me too.
Apparently... I am just straight on with Christianity right now because that is the symbol for Christ. So anytime from now on somebody says, you shouldn't say Xmas, it's taking the Christ out of Christmas, say, read your books and know that the Greek X is the symbol for Christ. Thank you very much. Suck it. Probably shouldn't say that about Christmas stuff. You should probably be a little gentler, but whatever. So there you go. Those are my fun facts regarding Christmas. I'm done.
Well, I'm glad to see you had those when we all got booted off the air. So,
well, they're just happy with Phoenix over here. And they actually didn't boot the one who was the sleepiest. So I did pretty good.
Yes, you did. Well, how about we talk about Easy Signs Online right now? You probably don't have time to get a custom sign made for the front of your farm or your friend's farm. But you do have time to buy a gift certificate to get that custom sign made. And, you know, your friend might want to pick out the design themselves anyway. So just head on over to EasySignsOnline.com, and you will find the place in there to buy the gift certificates. What a great gift certificate, one that you can actually do such a personal item as a customized sign that they can put out in front of their farm, on the barn, in the tack room, whatever. They can do down to nameplates. You can do anything that you can think of in the banner and sign world. I just think it's a great idea for the holidays. It's a very personal gift. And you know what? The person that we always put off getting our signs, like we still don't have one for our farm and Easy Signs, and I got to get that done because Easy Sign is a sponsor of ours. It's easy to put it off. But you know what? The gift certificate might just spur that person on to get it done. So head on over to EasySignsOnline.com today and get your gift certificate for that one you love. And it doesn't even have to be a farm sign. It can be a business. It can be anything. EasySignsOnline.com. Well, Jennifer did a interview for the Dressage Show that we thought would be interesting this morning. And, Jennifer, this is from Justin at Total Saddle Fit, and he's answering listener questions about Saddle Fit. What was this one about? Do we have Jennifer?
No? I'm here, I hope. Am I here?
Okay. Yeah, you're here. Yep.
We were answering listener questions, and a listener asked about when and how often you should have your saddle fit checked by a professional. And she was also curious about the benefits or why a shaped girth might be good or bad for your horse. So I had Justin answer those.
All right, very good. Here's Justin from Total Saddle Fit, and we'll be back with more fun. I have a list I want to do when we come back. It's the 10 reasons to date a horse girl, and we're going to find out if America's Horse Husband agrees with those 10 reasons to date a horse girl. That's the serious stuff coming up.
Welcome back to the Dressage Radio Show, Justin.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be back.
Justin has very generously spending some time recording answers to listener questions for our little contest that Reese and Philip are having. And I must say that it's been very popular. We've been getting lots of questions. And this one is from Kelly. It's actually a two-parter. We're going to do part one. Kelly says, I have a few questions that I have been pondering. I recently purchased a barely used dressage saddle, had it checked and custom flocked to my horse's back by a master saddler. And I've been wondering, and I've been using it for all my 5-year-old gelding who has just started under saddle training at the end of the summer. I am concerned about how to monitor the fit and the effects that my saddle is having on a very green horse. What are early warning signs of a problem, and is there a way to monitor the changes as both positive and negative? And do the wet and dry patterns left on the hair under the saddle when you take it off give us some clues? That's a bunch of stuff right there, Justin.
All right. Well, let's see if we can try to tackle it. So for a young horse or for a green horse, the first thing is if she has access to a saddle fitter and, you know, is able to get it checked, it's something you want to keep up on even more so than, you know, a sort of mature horse because they're very, very likely going to be undergoing a ton of changes. So depending on availability, you know, at least every 6 months, I would say a professional check would be ideally maybe even a little bit more frequently than that, but, you know, budget permitting. As far as a rider goes, the biggest thing to saddle fit, and I can't stress this enough, is the balance of the saddle. Because the balance is so important because no matter how well a saddle fits a horse's back, if it's out of balance, a lot of those fitting benefits immediately go away because the weight is no longer carried evenly over a horse's back. So when I say balance, I mean when a rider is sitting in the saddle and you're looking at it from the side, is everything level? Is the pommel and the cantle relatively level, or if it's a really deep seat, is the cantle just a little bit higher than the pommel? You know, is the saddle sitting where it's supposed to? Is the rider balanced? Because that, as long as, assuming the saddle, you know, is a decent shape for the horse, that's going to carry the rider's weight in the best way possible. So that's the number one thing to look out for, and the biggest sign of a saddle stopping, you know, the fit starting to change. Because as a horse muscles up in one place or another, it will lift that saddle one direction or the other, and that'll be your biggest telltale sign that something needs to be addressed. Another one, and this is kind of more like having a friend watch you ride or watching a trainer ride in your saddle, something like that, is the stability that starts moving around a lot on you, bouncing, sliding one way or the other. That's another really, really big sign that something needs to be addressed. Because, again, whether it's the wool breaking down, the saddle's rocking, you'll see that as it bounces, and it'll let you know something isn't balanced somewhere. Even if maybe at the standstill it's looking okay, if it's moving too much, definitely get it checked. And then, you know, we use, as I work into the kind of wet and dry spots underneath the saddle. Those are good kind of tools to use to confirm or deny a suspicion you might have about how a saddle's fitting. So if you pull the saddle off your horse and there's two big dry spots behind the shoulders on either side of the withers. Now, because that would suggest that there's a lot of pressure right there. If your saddle is a little bit low in the front, or you feel it's like very tight around the withers, then using that dry spot will be a great way to kind of just confirm that, and then, you know, either pat it up accordingly, lift the front up, or, you know, relay that information to a saddle fitter to figure out exactly what you need to do. But I wouldn't necessarily use the dry spots as an end-all, be-all fit tool to say this fits or this doesn't, because they're not necessarily quite on point enough to be that powerful of a tool. But like I said, you could just use it sort of to back up any suspicions you might have. But as long as you keep an eye on the balance and the stability, those are the two biggest things. And lastly, the one sort of thing you can't really see from either the balance and the stability standpoint is bridging, which it just means there's very little contact underneath the center part of the saddle, meaning it has a lot of contact in the rear, a lot of contact in the front, and the center is light. So that's one more thing just to check. Once your saddle is girthed up tight, you can run your hand underneath the panels from front to back and from back to front, and just make sure you're getting even contact on the horse's back when the saddle is girthed up there. And that'll just, you know, let you make sure that there's not some huge gap there that's distributing the pressure unevenly up.
Oh, a good point indeed. And sorry, Kelly, you only get one entry, even though you have two questions. this one is about girths, shape, and shaped girths. And we thought, well, no one more qualified to answer this question than you are, Justin. So Kelly writes, another question relates to shaped girths. I was told by an apprentice saddler to avoid shaped girths because they unevenly distribute pressure, thus causing strong pressure points. As a manufacturer of shaped girths, can you give us your perspective on this statement? Thanks for sharing your insights. It is much appreciated. So go for it, Justin.
All right. Well, you know, I think the first thing to look at when you're considering any kind of girth is what do you want out of it? You know, what's your need in a girth? You just need something to attach a shaft saddle to a horse, because if that's the case and everything else is perfectly fine, then maybe you don't need a shaped girth at all. And, you know, if you decide you need some kind of benefit out of a girth beyond just attaching your saddle to the horse, there's kind of two ways that shaped girth can help. And the first and most common one that you'll see, which is the vast majority of all the other all the manufacturers out there, is it's called anatomical, contoured, shaped, whatever word you want to use. They're more or less used synonymously, and they're designed with a cutback around the elbow. So most of the ones you see out there, they kind of look really squiggly. like a windy road or something.
And I like
what
that.
They do
squiggly.
Is,
yeah, it's a good term. Very descriptive.
You know, I'm trying to be as high-tech as possible with my terminology here. And what they do is they have cutbacks around the elbows, so when the girth attaches, if your horse, if a regular straight girth is kind of coming up, interfering with the elbow, one of these contour girths will help that. And that's where the majority of their benefit comes from. Now, if you wanted, so if your need was just, you know, elbow clearance, comfort around the elbow, that kind of, you know, squiggly girth, if you want to call it, that would be your best bet. Now, where we come at it from, our standpoint at Total Saddle Fit, making the shoulder relief girth, is we come from a saddle fitting standpoint. So ours is designed a little bit differently in that it has a offset which is deeper, so the center of the girth is more offset than the sides of the girth compared to other brands out there. And that actually has the biggest effect on saddle fit. It moves the saddle away from the horse's shoulder because it actually straightens out the billet line of the saddle, or redirects it, if you want to call it that. Either way, it brings the billet line of the saddle back, more perpendicular to the ground, and gives the horse shoulder freedom to move. So those are the main differences. And the most important thing is just making sure you know what you need in buying the girth. You know, just buying something for the sake of it doesn't necessarily make sense unless there's an objective there. And we've done the shoulder relief girth just because we found that so many people put saddles too far forward, or saddles tend to shift up into the horse's shoulder. So there's been a lot of benefits with that.
It's just not a case of I'm going to get a shaped girth because it sounds like a good idea. Or not. You have a specific issue that you're trying to deal with.
You should have a reason that you're getting it. Otherwise, it may just not be necessary. You know, we found that a lot of horses can use it just because so many saddles sit up against the shoulders. But not necessary for every single rider out there, that's for sure.
So for folks who may not be familiar with telltale signs of girths that don't fit, let me see if I'm on the right page here. If you've been using the same girth for quite some time, and it's well broken in and well loved, but it is developing a squishy, wrinkly section right about where the horse's elbows are, where it looks like somebody took a rubber band and wrapped it around it lengthwise, and it's all wrinkled like the top of a bread bag. That indicates that the girth is pushing up towards the horse's elbows, and the elbow rib cage area is actually smashing the girth narrower. Is that kind of a good description, or am I on the wrong page?
I think that's a great description. That would be a sign. I mean, a lot of times you can just walk next to your horse and see the way that the elbows make contact with the girth, and that would be another way to look at it. One thing I will mention as well, as far as girth fit goes, we have found a lot of, maybe not a lot, but enough to mention it, that there's a lot of girths that are too short for the saddles they're being used on. The best rule of thumb with that, and making sure the girth is fitting right, is to make sure the buckle's right there at elbow, on level with the elbow. You know, because you could potentially not only have the horse's elbow run into the leather or the material the girth's made out of, but metal, which we obviously don't want that. So, keeping erring on the longer side is generally a good rule of thumb. It'll bring the buckles up away from the elbow, and it will avoid the chance that the edge of a girth would rest in the middle of the horse's pectoral muscles. If you keep those edges far enough or high enough up, you just avoid a couple of those little pitfalls that might come up.
Well, thank you very much, Justin, for answering Kelly's question part two, and we'll be seeing you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Well, that was Justin from Total Saddle Fit. You can see the shoulder relief girth, one of the shaped girths that he sells. You can find those over at TotalSaddleFit.com. Well, I have found there's this website. I don't know if you've spent a lot of time on it, Jamie, but they're really coming around, and they're going to be more like a horse nation, I think, now. It's called HorseCollaborative.com. And they're putting a lot more fun, interesting, goofy stuff up there, and some more serious stuff too. But it really is becoming more popular. I'm starting to notice it more and more. And they did this story on the 10 reasons to date a horse girl, and I thought I'd take a look at this and see if I agree with any of these. And you can throw in from the horse girl side of things. All right.
Oh boy.
Number one, with gender ratio of about 10 girls to every one guy in horses, she's probably going to be pretty grateful she even found you. Now, I think that's kind of a slam to guys who like horse girls, but...
No, I think it's I think what they're leading to is that's a guy in horses. So 10 girls to every one guy in horses, or no?
Yeah, probably. If you look at Pony Club and everything, there's probably is about 10 girls to one guy in horses. So the way I read this was a little bit differently. With the generation of 10 to 1, then they're going to be happy for anybody, even you. That's kind of
wow.
How
that's high standards for our young ladies coming up. You're a dude, and you like
take
her.
Take anything.
She'll take you.
2, strong thighs. Yep, that's pretty true. That is pretty true about horse girls. They have strong thighs.
They do have strong thighs, but I must admit that with the recent popularity of the what is called the thigh gap, and if you don't know what the thigh gap is, you can Google it. And the reason you don't know what the thigh gap is because you don't have it. Because horse girls don't have thigh gaps. Because there is just not anything attractive about very strong inner thigh muscles. But yet I have them, and I don't have that thigh gap that is so popular right now with girls. So, strong thighs.
I agree. I will have to throw this in here as attractive because I think that no gap is better and strong thighs are better. So I'm with this list. I agree.
God love you, Glenn. God love you.
That's why I like horse girls. And round butts. They don't have round butts on the list, but I have to throw that in there. That'd be number one on my list is the round horse girl butts because you know what I'm talking about. Horse girls have round butts, and I liked round butts even before they were popular with Kim Kardashian. So just saying.
Horse girls started that.
Yeah, they did. They did start that. This, as they're starting so many of the trends in fashion these days. Number three, you won't have to worry about being the crazier half because it's her by a landslide.
That's
I like
true.
This one.
I cannot argue with that.
I like that one. Number four, you're not going to argue with this one either. She's sure to know her way around a drink.
I would love to argue. It's not saying that all horse girls drink,
because I'm sure there are a few that don't. But, yeah, if you've ever been to a competitor party, you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, even just this is the time of year where barns have their Christmas parties and their holiday parties. And I'm sorry, I've seen many a girl or been that girl who's dancing in the tack room of the barn around the Christmas tree sloshing a beer. That just happens.
Allison Springer has once a year, she is the eventer, once a year has a ugly sweater party at Christmas, and that's coming up this weekend. I only know this because she was on the Eventing Radio Show this week. And apparently it is the big party of the year if you get to come. And if you don't wear an ugly Christmas sweater, she has ones for you, and you have to put one of hers on. So I've never been to an ugly Christmas sweater party, but it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Number five, you know she's capable of commitment, at least to her horse. See, that's the problem with this one, is, you know, the at least to her horse thing. Because, yes, they're committed to their horse, but are they committed to a long-term relationship with a guy is a completely different story. Do
you
disagree with that?
No, because any man I dated before Chad, I was like, you know, I would go into the relationship, and this is really sad, and I have been in therapy for this, is I went into every relationship going, I wonder how this is going to end. Like, and yet, I kept a horse
for 18
years.
That's probably not a good start.
No, it's not healthy. And again, therapy was needed for that kind of commitment issues. But my God, I kept my horse from the age of 10 to 28 till he died in my arms. So you know what? I mean, what's wrong with Ben? God, that just said a lot about me. Move on.
Yeah, maybe reconsider therapy again. Number six. She cares more about her horse's approval of you than her parents' approval of you. You know, thank God. That's a good one. I kind of like that one. Having had a engaged, by the way, I didn't ask her parents first. From the day we got engaged, they wouldn't talk to me ever again. But you wonder why that engagement never worked out. I can appreciate this one. I really can. So I went to the horse girl next.
Mine was, you know, my horse's approval. I don't think that they can do that. But my gosh, my dog. My dog had to like you. If they didn't like you, again, it was, how long is this one going to last? The dog doesn't like him. Genius.
It's hard to tell with the horse because, you know, they have their days where they don't like anybody. So if you have a treat, they pretty much like you, right? So although there are horses that are, you know, hate guys and that kind of thing. But number seven, with her spending tens of thousands of dollars a year on her hobby, she won't have a problem with you blowing a couple hundred bucks on video games. I think whoever wrote this is naive because that's crap. They notice every dollar you spend because in their mind they're thinking, I could have spent that on my horse. Am I wrong?
My gosh. No, but like a set of golf clubs is a dressage saddle, and we're still dealing with that issue. So, somebody has a new set of golf
clubs. Okay. Yeah, did he get the golf clubs, by the way?
Glenn, not only did he get the golf clubs, he got custom fitted for two of the shafts that he has. The dude is he's really good at golf, so, I mean, you need good equipment. And that's what I'm trying to say to him is, if you're going to be good at something, you need good equipment. I need a Devaku.
You didn't get your Devaku yet?
we're still in negotiations here, Glenn.
I think you got a puppy instead. I think that's what's taking place with the Devaku right now. Because he can hold that one over you for at least a year.
God dang it. I need good equipment
puppy,
if I'm going to be good.
See, that puppy, though, caused the problem. I would hold that one over for you. I'd get a good year out of that one before it wore off. because every time the puppy peed on the floor, chewed up the couch, dug a hole in the wall, I would say, this is why you don't have a Devaku. And I would just bring that up every day for a year. I'd be good with that one. God, you guys make it so easy. Number eight, if you agree to be her groom for the day, there probably isn't much she won't do to repay you the favor. I have to put a caveat on that one. There needs an asterisk, because the asterisk needs to say, if you agree to be her groom for a day and do everything the exact way she says to do it. Because, see, I always had the better way to do it, and I always got in trouble. So it never worked out well.
Let's just move past this one.
Yeah, because I'll get in trouble again. Nine,
yep.
Easy access to whips and spurs. I don't think we need to go any further on that one. And I just saw Jennifer just posted on our chat that, please, Glenn, you don't need to groom for me.
Nor does she want you to be handling her whips or spurs. Let's just move past that.
And number 10 is, did I mention strong thighs? So there you go. The list provided by Horse Collaborative of the 10 reasons to date a horse girl. I can think of it. I have to make my own list someday. I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll make my own list of the 10 reasons. No, I think it'd be a little different.
Well, yeah, I know. Here's what's weird is like when you like I lived in the city of Atlanta and I had a professional job in an office, but I was still the horse girl. So everybody knew that I had horses. And when you mentioned the whips and spurs thing, seriously, it's ridiculous. Why does every dude think that if you have horses, you clearly want to whip them or get whipped by them with whips? But the other thing that I always heard was, now, excuse my language. So, do you have a pair of assless chaps? And I'm like, if they weren't assless, they'd be pants, you moron. They're chaps. Think about that for a minute. Assless chaps. All chaps are assless. They'd be pants if they weren't. God, idiots.
Although I do know when we had our tack shop, I talked about this years ago. When we had our tack shop, we were one of the largest providers to that particular community who bought whips for other than horses. Now that I'm thinking about it, our biggest sales, they used to buy them before, quote unquote, the parties they had. Our biggest sales, they used to buy 25 whips at a time. And this particular group was out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not making that up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Now, see, but horse girls realize how disgusting and dirty their whips get. So, my whip is gross. I drop it on the ground when I'm riding. The horses step on it. It probably falls in poop. Like, I throw it down at the wash rack. You know, like, come on. Horse girls know better. How about that?
Our supplier always wondered why we were the number one seller of whips in the country. We never did tell them. They could do with horses. All right. Yes, it is. Let's take a break for a song. Let's go a little Christmassy today, and we're going to be back. We have more fun planned for you for the rest of today's show. Good morning, everybody.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time's a-coming. And I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling. My old calling, tall pines are humming, 'cause Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming. Running, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Christmas Times are Coming by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Horses in the Morning here on the Horse Radio Network. I am Glenn the Geek. I am here with Jamie Jennings, who is broadcasting from the moon today. And Jen is in the producer chair. You had a story, too, that little harness racing gets a little love in the news.
Glenn, you know, it's just one of those days that you realize you're in the wrong business. We're doing the wrong sport. I'm in the wrong business. Eventing is lower level eventing is paying me nothing. I'm enjoying myself, but really, what we need to do is change our sport. You know, there's a guy named Ron Burke, and he is a harness racing trainer, and he just broke Todd Pletcher. Todd Pletcher, of course, you know, racehorse trainer. Todd Pletcher's North American record for purses won by a trainer. Ron Burke just made when a horse named Appomattox crossed the wire first at the free-for-all handicap trot. His earnings totaled $28 million, $146,935. So anyway, over $28 million. Now,
wow.
10% of that. So that's basically $281,000 that
nope,
he's
nope,
made.
Nope. $2.8 million.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's even worse. And that's even better. So, sorry, my math is way off. But $2.8 million, that's even better. And then you got to think, like, they probably get $150 a day. That's what people like that pay guys like this to keep their horse in training with them. So not even including that. But $2.8 million, oh, my God, that was way off. He's had 4,943 starters this year.
Okay,
4,943 horses have gone to the post. I guess that's what they call it in harness racing. 1,071 wins, 846 seconds, and 654 thirds. Now, let me not be really a ridiculous, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know that much about harness racing. I would love to have, if any of you guys are harness racing experts that are listening, we'd love to have you be a guest on the show and kind of educate us. But I didn't know that there were 4,943 races. Much
no.
less, or I guess starters. So, but I didn't know there was that many for the horses to go in. So he lives just southwest of Pittsburgh. And he says he's very happy and proud. He was apparently afraid of horses when he grew up on his dad's horse farm. But he also became the first harness trainer to win $100 million in purses in his career, which started in 2009. So dude is on fire.
Wow. He has 225 horses that race out of his barn, 20 assistant trainers, and 40 grooms. And his mom's
the bookkeeper. Should we know who this guy is? Like, should we know this guy's name? I'm sorry, I don't know who Ron Burke is. I know Jimmy Tactor is the racehorse trainer, and he won the Hamiltonian this year. And that's the only race I know. God, I need to brush up.
Jennifer, put him on the list for somebody to get on in the new year. We should get him on because obviously he's somebody that we need to talk to. My God.
There's no chance. He's too busy. My God, he's got 7,000 horses in training. He's got to keep up with that.
It says here he drives about 60,000 miles a year in his cars to go to the racetrack. So he can talk to us when he's on his way back in the car.
That's true. That's true. He could. My
wow.
God.
On most Saturdays, he averages 40 to 50 horses running. 40 to 50. That's crazy.
Unreal. Burke credits the development of technology for his success as it allows him to enter horses at different tracks in different states right from his phone. He also built an office in his home that features 4 high-def television sets. He says, I wouldn't have been able to do all of this 20 years ago. Burke, on an average night, starts 15 horses, and on Saturdays he averages 40 to 50 runners. So I guess if you have that many, well, still, but that's still a lot of wins.
That's still a lot of
wins.
One
out of every 5 horses that he starts wins. He's only racing against himself, probably, right? So
yeah,
one of his
right,
horses
exactly.
is going to win.
Talk about a monopoly. Well, we'll try and get him on in the new year. Well, let's do this. I mentioned at the beginning of the show in my Daily Whinny, and I'll explain this a little bit. We had a record number of downloads for the Horse Radio Network, not just for any show, you know, for all the shows together. This episode of the Driving Radio Show was our biggest episode ever and exceeded the total downloads we get for all the shows in one day by 10.
Wow.
And the reason is we had two very popular ladies on the show together, and I'm going to play a clip for you of this, but I want to explain it a little bit first. Lisa Marie Kelly is Ice Road Trucker, Lisa Marie Kelly. She is our most famous listener. She has about 500,000 fans on Facebook. She is the most well-known trucker in the world. That TV show, Ice Road Truckers, and also the Dangerous Roads or whatever it was, show that she did just catapulted her to the top of trucking fame. And, of course, she's a woman in a man's business.
Did she ever wear the hat? Did you ever send her the hat? Remember, we interviewed her, and I'm like, will you wear one of our hats on your...
She's driving the truck. But I don't know if she ever wore it on the show. I don't think they'd let her. But she wears it while she's driving her truck, and she still listens to our shows while she's driving the truck. Years ago, she contacted us and said, I love your show. She listens to Driving and Horses in the Morning and a couple of the other shows. She really likes driving because she has horses, and she was learning how to drive her horses. So that's why she listened to Wendy and I. And she did it while she was driving the ice road. So that was kind of cool. We had to have her on. She's been a guest a number of times on the show. Well, I got to know her pretty well. And last week I was just chatting with her, seeing how everything was going. And I noticed that she's been promoting music on her Facebook page for a girl by the name of Lisa Kelly. And so there's two Lisa Kellys. There's trucker Lisa Kelly and singer Lisa Kelly. Well, I thought, wow, I know that name too. And then it rung a bell that the second Lisa Kelly, the singer Lisa Kelly, who she's been promoting, is of the Celtic Woman fame. She was one of the original singers in Celtic Woman. And, of course, Celtic Woman has sold millions of records. They've traveled and toured all over the world. Their PBS specials are huge hits. And I'm a Celtic music fan, having owned an acting company that did medieval feasts and having been at Renaissance fairs for years. I'm a huge Celtic music fan, so I knew exactly who Lisa Kelly was, the singer. So I thought, and then I got to talking to the trucker, Lisa Kelly, and she said, you know, we've never met. We know each other, and we get confused all the time. Apparently, people just confuse them all the time. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have Lisa Kelly, the trucker, on the show like we normally do as a guest, just get caught up, but surprise her by also having the other Lisa Kelly, the singer, on. And I thought, there's no way in hell she's going to be like Carrie Underwood. She won't talk to us, but I'll try. So I tried contacting Lisa Kelly, the singer, and she got back to me in like 5 minutes and said she'd love to do it. She is so sweet and so nice and has the most beautiful voice ever. And we managed to get all this together and make it happen on the Driving Radio Show this week. And here is the first 15 minutes of it where they get to meet each other. I think you'll enjoy it. So take a listen to the two Lisas. This is her good Christmas song. Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you because I am a huge fan from back in Riverdance days, which was a while ago now. I'm a huge fan of Celtic Woman. I have followed you guys for years, having owned an acting company that did medieval feasts. I'm a big Celtic music fan. And have worked with a lot of those groups. And you guys, I mean, you just set the world on fire through the 2000s. And I guess you were there from day one.
I was there from day one. That's right. We started in 2004. It was supposed to be a one-night thing, and it just blew up. Really, it really blew up. We recorded in Dublin, and we knew it was going to be a PBS special, and then we went over to New York. That was in September. And we went to New York for Patrick's Day the following year in March. And the CD straight away went to number one in the Billboard World Music Chart and stayed there for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I stayed with them then from 2004 through until 2011. So it was a good 7 years.
And I got to give them credit. They just won again the Billboard's Leading World Act for 2004.
So I believe. Which
yeah.
is incredible. I think it's the third or fourth.
Congratulations.
Incredible. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was wonderful to be part of. We had so much fun.
And we just played a little bit of Christmas Everywhere, which is your release for this holiday season. An absolutely wonderful song, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was a local Georgia lady wrote that for me. I had done, when I moved to Peachtree City in Georgia back in 2011, and I was asked, as soon as I moved here, I was asked to do the 4th of July fireworks up in Atlanta, and I went up and worked with this wonderful woman called Cheryl Rogers. And then when I decided to do a concert down here myself later on that year, I knew Cheryl was the one I wanted to work with, and we had so much fun together that she actually wrote that song for me, herself and the drummer James Castro. So I was very lucky to get to record it, and it's one of those songs you just can't get out of your head. Everybody's giving out to me, but thankfully the tune is good.
That's true. It is true. you have played one of the things that Celtic Woman did, and I keep wanting to say women. I've always wanted to say women because there's more than one woman. I don't know how that ever got that name, but anyway.
Between the Celtic and the Celtic as well, it's always been a confusing question.
Yeah. Well, you got to play in some of the most beautiful locations. I mean, more than most other concerts, they always tried to make it absolutely spectacularly beautiful in the locations you played.
Yeah, we were very lucky. I mean, obviously, we got to play amazing theaters, which is always, it's such a joy. My background is in musical theater as well. And my granddad was an actor. So from the time I was a very young kid, I was always in the theater. And I love that you can't replicate that old smell in the theater. It's just so gorgeous. So we've played all the beautiful Fox theaters all over the States. And we've played, you know, we've played Radio City. We played Carnegie Hall. We did some really amazing venues. And then we got to do outdoor venues like Wolf in Vienna and the Greek Theatre in LA. But then when Celtic Woman started to get bigger, we started doing arenas. And I was so confused as to how this arena thing, obviously being from Ireland, our arenas are much smaller. And we don't even have, I don't even think we have an ice arena anywhere in Dublin. So it was so different. I didn't know how we were going to replicate the beauty of, you know, the set and the show and everything. But, you know, when you have wonderful people that you work with and wonderful stage managers, wonderful production managers, it's funny, you just go from stage to stage and it just happens. It's like you just, you know, you fall asleep and you wake up the next morning, you're in the same place. So they're just wonderful. We had very good people who were very good at their jobs, which is always wonderful.
Well, you guys weren't too bad either. I mean...
Oh, thank you. But it all goes hand in hand. It really does. That's the beauty of, you know, a successful show, everything has to work in harmony, from management to the girls, to the choir, to the band, to your backstage people. You have to work hand in hand. Everybody is there to do a job, and you can only do your job if other people are good at their job, too.
Well, we have you on today to do something special, and that is to surprise a regular guest of ours, and she's a fan of our shows and the most popular trucker in the world. And she's been on our shows a number of times before. Her name is Lisa Kelly. And, of course, she is known for Ice Road Truckers. And I guess
that's
you two
right.
Met on Facebook, right?
We did. We met on Twitter. It was astounding to me the amount of times, you know, I would get Twitter messages or Facebook messages going, how is it possible you drive that big rig and you got a voice of an angel? I'm like, oh no. Unfortunately, I love to drive and I love cars. Now, my forte is not in trucks at all. But one day I started to follow her on Twitter and I tweeted her one day saying, you know, I wonder if as many people ask you to sing Danny Boy as ask me about my truck. And she responded, and we just became friends. And, you know, we got to chat online a good bit. And I've been very friendly with her manager, David. So it's just funny to me that no matter what we do, some people just can't make the distinction between the two of us.
Well, I know she's told us in the past that she always is competing with you for who shows up number one on Google searches.
This is true.
You know, she has almost 500,000 followers on Facebook. It's incredible.
I know. And the funniest thing is anytime she kind of promotes me on her Facebook or on her Twitter, I get all these followers. And I can tell from the pictures that they weren't initially my friends. They're all these truckers. I don't think he's ever heard of Celtic Woman or of Lisa Kelly, the singer. He's just so confused right now.
Well, and I know,
and we're not that unalike looking. I mean, we kind of look alike as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Although the accents are totally different.
Totally.
she was been promoting heavily your Christmas Everywhere song, and I've seen it on her Facebook page, and it's getting lots of great comments. So,
very sweet.
And that's when I put two and two together. Was when I saw her promoting that, I went, wait a minute, I know the other Lisa Kelly too. So that's why I got a hold of you. Well,
you're one of the few.
I'm a big fan of both. All right, let's get her on here. So you just hang out there. She doesn't know you're coming on.
Indeed.
This is a surprise.
Okay.
All right, let's hope this is her in the truck. She is driving today, she said.
Oh, dear.
So she pulls over usually. I hope she's not driving an ice road. That would be bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello?
Hello, Lisa. It's Glenn and Wendy. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Terrific. Are you driving on an ice road right now?
Well, not really an ice road, just a highway. I'm almost at Anchorage.
Okay, cool. We can barely hear you. Can you just speak up as loud as you can?
Okay. Do you need me to pull over or something?
That might be good, actually, for what we have planned for you today. That might be good.
Okay, well, let's check my spot.
Well, we're so glad to have you on. It's been a little while since we chatted.
Yeah, you bet. I'm glad that you guys had me back.
Well, you know, we have to. We're going to get caught up with your horses and everything in just a minute because I'm sure everybody's wondering how all the critters are and how your driving's going.
Oh, right on.
But let me know when you're pulled over and safe, so we can. We can chat with you.
Glenn, you're so thoughtful.
I know. Well, I don't want her wrecking her big rig. That happens enough on the ice road. You don't need to encourage it.
I'm not going to wreck it.
No, you never do. You were never the one in that show that was wrecking their rig.
Trying to take care of myself.
It was always the guys that were wrecking the trucks. It was never you.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to wreck them because it's someone else. And you're doing the show, and the show pays for all the damage, so why not?
So you can wreck your truck, make sure you're being filmed. Is that it?
Yep.
Well, Lisa, you've been doing some promoting on your Facebook page, and I noticed you've been promoting the coffee company. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the other thing you've been promoting, and I checked it out and finally put two and two together, is you've been promoting a song by the name of Christmas Everywhere by another Lisa Kelly, exact same name as you. And then I got to thinking, Lisa, I know the other Lisa Kelly, too. Not personally.
Oh, do you really?
I do. Not personally, but I've been following her since the beginning of her music career. She sang in Riverdance and then sang for Celtic Woman for a lot of years, and I'm a huge Celtic music fan. And
awesome.
When I finally put two and two together, I thought, wow, that's really cool. So then I figured, you know, then I asked you a couple of weeks ago about Lisa, and you said you guys had never met. Well, Lisa Kelly, I would like you to introduce you to Lisa Kelly. Say hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good. How are you? Holy cow, it's awesome.
It's so cool. I know. It's so strange to me that we have never met, yet we have this affinity to each other, if only by name.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
So cool. Where are you driving at the minute?
Why?
Where are you?
Oh, where? I'm just headed back to Anchorage, so I'm just on the highway.
Oh, my goodness. I bet it's freezing up there. You need to move to Peachtree City. It's so much warmer down here.
Oh, I don't know. It's been really warm this winter.
Oh, good. Good. Are you all ready for Christmas?
No, actually, not at all. Terrible.
Well, you see, we have that in common as well. No, I'm exactly the same. I have nothing done. I was explaining, we had a concert here in Peachtree City on Saturday night, and I have nothing done. I have so much to do.
Well, now, Lisa, Trucker Lisa. Let's do Singer Lisa and Trucker Lisa so we can distinguish between the two. Now, Trucker Lisa, have you ever been contacted to sing because of Singer Lisa?
Yes, I get this all the time. You have a beautiful voice and you can drive a truck. I'm like, whoa.
That was the exact same thing I just said. The amount of times people have said, how is it you can drive that big rig and then you have this pretty voice? Like, okay. You certainly don't want to see me drive a big rig.
I certainly can't sing, but I'll try.
It's funny, your pictures as well, your new pictures, there's a few poses that were exactly like the new pictures I got done as well. So I put the two of them side by side, and I was like, this is just not helping the confusion at the moment.
It's funny. Oh, it's funny when you sent me some shirts, and I got it in the mail. It's like, to Lisa Kelly from, who's it from? Lisa Kelly, what? I did not send my thing. It took me forever to figure out. But it was from you and not from myself.
I know, it's so weird. You never get used to somebody else having your name either. It's just so strange. And then just to have this one, and being total opposite occupations as well, it's just, it never ceases to amaze me that people don't put two and two together and go, oh, well, maybe it's not the same girl.
Oh, I know. I've had to, people have shown me pictures. I'm like, that's not me. I'm not going to sign that.
Well, I got to tell you guys,
this will help.
I just did a Google search to see who wins today. And today on my Google, thelisakelly.com is right ahead of Lisa Kelly's singer's Wikipedia page. So
there you go.
Competition. This would be on the first on Google.
Trucker is winning today.
Trucker wins today. We'll have to do something else. I'll have to do something else.
Well, now, singer Lisa Kelly, you've actually moved to the United States now, and you have a new venture, right?
I do. I've been here since 2000. Obviously, I started with Riverdance
right.
in 2000 and toured around the States, and I met my husband in Riverdance, who's Australian. So when we moved to Ireland after we had our children, I moved back home. But my husband found it very difficult with the weather in Ireland because obviously he's from Sydney and it was beautiful and sunny. So we decided we'd settle in America because it was halfway between the two countries. So when we moved here, we were living in New York for a while. And we have four children, and New York just wasn't working for me with four children. So we Googled the best place to live in America, and Peachtree City kept coming up in our Google search. So we decided to come down, and we never left. It's just wonderful. So I opened the Voice Academy here 2 years ago. So that's been amazing.
Well, now I'm thinking about Australian accent, Irish accent, and Southern accent. Where these children are growing up, what are they going to end up with?
I know, my poor children. They're so confused. I have my two older boys, they're 12 and 10, and they've discovered the girls like it a lot if they speak with their Irish accent. So it's got a little bit more Lucky Charms Irish accent than a genuine Irish accent. my daughter's pretty strong American, and then my baby, who's the only one who was born in America, has the thickest Dublin accent I've ever heard. So that's just because he hasn't mixed with other children yet.
Well, I know, singer Lisa, you have to run here shortly. We would love to have you. I don't know about anybody else, but I would love to have you back sometime just to talk music.
I would love to. I'd be delighted. And thank you for the opportunity to say hi to Lisa. And thanks for taking the call. It's so good to talk to all of you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lisa. Take care.
Merry Christmas, Lisa. Stay safe on the road.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you finally.
You too.
Great.
You take care. Merry Christmas, Glenn
Merry
and Wendy.
Christmas,
thanks
everybody.
For the call. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, we continued the interview then of the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com with Lisa the Trucker, and we talked to her about her horses and got an update from her. She was so excited to meet Lisa the Singer. And Lisa the Singer, you know, there have been hundreds of comments on their Facebook pages, mostly about who's hotter. I noticed that it was it's turned into this competition of, I like Lisa the Trucker, she's hotter than Lisa the Singer. It's just been that way. But one of the comments I thought was very funny, this was on Lisa the Singer's page, and it was from Julie Gilbert, who said, funny thing, when I signed up for your singing classes, I was expecting to learn to drive a truck. Now I'm a singer. So apparently there's still some confusion. Now, she loves Peachtree City, Georgia, which is right below Atlanta, right?
Yes, it is, just south of Peachtree City. And, man, when Peachtree City started, they didn't have a mall. So all the Peachtree City kids would come to my mall and try to hang out. And it was like, you're from Peachtree City? That was like a million miles away. And now I look at it, it's just south of Atlanta. It was crazy. But, like, we would be like, you can't come to our mall. This is our mall.
Well, it must be a nice place. She said she Googled it and, you know, really did some research on where to live, and that's why they picked it. It kept coming up as one of the best places to live. So I don't
know.
It's
a really nice community, and it's a very low crime, and people, it's like the first neighborhood where people started driving golf carts everywhere, and now it's very popular here in Phoenix to live in an like enclosed neighborhood with parks and shops and golf carts, but it was the first one to really do that, and they must really self-promote on Google, and working, I guess.
They must. Yep. So that was fun. I was so glad to get the two of them together, and I can't wait, actually. In January, I'm going to do a kind of a one-on-one music piece like we do sometimes. I'm going to do that with the singer, Lisa Kelly, and we're going to
cool.
geek out a little bit on Celtic music, so I'm looking forward to that. She was so sweet. She was so nice about the whole thing. She got back to me long before Carrie Underwood ever did. So, just saying.
You know,
Carrie.
Really, have you talked to Carrie herself? Because maybe it's just, you know, you're with the wrong person. You need to really try to get to her. She's got
I know,
too
that's
many
hard. It's really hard. She has a lot of layers. There's a lot of layers to that onion. I can't seem to get through to the smelly part. So, oh, well. Jennifer's going to tell us, I hope you all enjoyed that. You can listen to the rest of it at Driving Radio Show. Jennifer's going to tell us what is coming up on what will be our final Really Bad Ads for 2014. Can you believe that? One more. That's it.
Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Well,
where did 2014 go?
There you are. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm here.
So,
where did 2014 go? Really?
I know. I remember we were just doing our first show of the year. Weird.
Yeah. You know, when I write checks, because that's about the only time I put dates, I still write 2012. So I'm way behind.
You're 2 years behind.
This whole 2015 thing is going to just rock my world.
2012 is when you got pregnant. See, all life stopped.
Uh-huh. I really think that's what it is. I do that all the time. I like, hey, my hay delivery came 2 days ago, and I wrote 2012 on the check. I'm like, oh, seriously? Yeah, I think it's right. Like, time froze.
Doesn't it seem like a pain in the ass to write a check anymore, too? It's just like a hassle. Oh, man.
The only two people that get checks are my farrier and my hay guy.
Yep. Horse people. Yep.
Yep.
Jennifer, what do we have for prizes on the final, the last Really Bad Ads? We got to make it a good one, people. Get on Craigslist. Send in your entries.
Our final and surely our best Really Bad Ads of 2014 prizes are provided by Redmond Equine. Redmond Rock is the perfect way to satisfy your horse's natural instinct for salt and minerals. More than 60 minerals just the way nature made them, with a taste your horse will love. In addition to Redmond Rock and Rock on a Rope, you can try Daily Red Granulated, which is just the rocks all ground up, perfect for adding for feed, Daily Gold for digestive health, and First Aid for Horses, awesome for little cuts and scrapes. All are mined right here in the USA, and you can find them online at redmondequine.com, or you can find them at your local tack and feed suppliers. And another favorite, Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. Woohoo! Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Ball and Licky Things help to combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing them with much-needed minerals and nutrients. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets don't get gummed up. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, Licky Things, and Squeezy Buns at your local tech and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmy.com.
So
thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jen. It is the 17th, and you guys just stressed me out by saying the end is next week. This is the last Really Bad Ads. I just realized, like, I've been tracking a UPS package that is lost. I bought something from Toys R Us, and it has Lucas's Christmas presents and all the Christmas presents for my nieces and nephews that I have to take with me on Tuesday to go to Oklahoma, and it is not here yet. And I need to find this package, and I just went online to check the status of it. And this is their activity that they've done. It says, we're attempting to verify the package location. Stand by. That's not good, right?
No, that's probably not good. I have a backup plan.
I'm so screwed. I can't be the jerk aunt that didn't get Christmas presents for all the nieces and nephews. I feel terrible. This is devastating. They asked me what the value was. I was like, I don't want the money. I want the damn gifts.
I see a fruitcake in your future. Somebody might have. Do vegetarians like fruitcake, by the way?
I don't know. I've never had one. It sounds gross.
I've never had one either. I don't know who's ever tried it. I've never tried it.
Cake should not sound healthy. It just shouldn't. Like veggie cake. Like, no. Give me just cake.
The only time fruit and cake should be together is when you put strawberries on top of your cheesecake. It's the only time.
God, that's good. That's well said, Jennifer. Well said. Let's end with that, shall we?
All right.
Everybody.
Tomorrow, we have the NATRC. We'll be here with our trail ride episode tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. And UPS, you better come through. I'm going to rip you a new one on this show. Watch out.
See you, everybody.
Sponsor.
Bring your helmet. Get a ride in. Here's about shopping.